Listen to Jesus' words in our gospel reading. You're invited to remain standing if you're able. And following a hymn that leans into the presence of the Holy Spirit, we recognize in the season of Easter, where we give a little bit of a nod towards the upcoming Pentecost Sunday. And in this word, following just last week, as Jesus shares that he is leaving to his disciples, we hear these words of an advocate that'll come and be with us, the Spirit of Truth. Hear these words from John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Once again, will you join me in prayer? Living and gracious God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have brought us out to a spacious place where we are called to live as those redeemed. Empower us by your Spirit to keep your commandments, that we may show forth your love with gentle word and reverent deed to all your people. Amen. As the season of Easter is drawing to a close, next Sunday we will celebrate Ascension Sunday, Jesus ascending into heaven. It's also the last Sunday in Easter. So as Easter, the season, a season of festivity, a feast, recognizing the power and the magnitude of Jesus' resurrection and the implications that has for our lives, the focus of our readings begin to shift from proclaiming Christ is risen and shouting out our alleluias on Easter Sunday and maybe a few Sundays after that. But we find ourselves now in the reading of our scriptures and in the season that we're in, where the readings begin to shift and begin to examine what it means for us to live in light of the resurrection. To know that we are people that, yes, celebrate the resurrection, that celebrate and sing out Christ is risen, but now on the beginnings of what is about to come in the season of Pentecost, and then following after, where we follow the life of the church, we find ourselves in this little tipping point in our scripture readings for what it means for us to live, to be a people that live in light of the resurrection. We see this as Jesus shares with his disciples that he is leaving to prepare a place. Those are the few verses just before our gospel reading today. Jesus has shared with his disciples, beginning his farewell to them by saying, "I am about to go." And the response back is, "Well, where are you going? And how will we know the way?" "Well, I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then Jesus responds with, "And keep my commandments." That's what we read today. But through this, as Jesus shares, they recognize that they will not be left alone. that there is someone to come alongside them, that God is continuing to seek them out and live and move around them and reach out to them and gather them in and is never leaving us to our own devices. But then the call as well. The very first verse that we read in our gospel lesson today, remain faithful. Keep Jesus' commandments. I am always with you, Jesus says. What a word of hope. Isn't that true? Hearing these words we have alongside us as we move, as we gather on Sundays, as we move through the week ahead, as we face whatever life gives us, to be reminded again and again of these words of Christ, that I am never leaving you. You are not on your own. God's presence is always with you. The Spirit is coming alongside to empower and to advocate, to comfort when needed. What a word of hope. I love you. But if you love me, keep my commands. Faith is always a call and response. It is a two-way street of sorts. You see, God, as we know, is the one that always moves first. God is the one that is always leaning in towards us, always trying to gather us, trying to bring us into God's presence. That's what God has been about throughout all time, is gathering a people for God's self. And as God moves first, we recognize that God is always faithful, always holding to God's word. And our faith involves our responding as well. And that's what we look at as we read this, that our faith involves how are we responding to God's faithfulness in our lives. A living of our faith through word, through deed, the actions that we do, all of this holds to Jesus' commandments, or we are to hold to Jesus' commandments. As we read through Scripture, we can hear of commandments from Jesus to go into all corners of the world and make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We hear commandments which just come just, or the invitation that comes just after what we read today in John 15, to abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. We also hear Jesus' commands as we listen to the Sermon on the Mount. And some of those are great, and it just makes us feel so full of life. And some of them are hard. To love your enemies, to bless others, to be a blessing. All of these commands that model the way of what Jesus was doing as he lived the way of God in the world, to give us a new mindset of what life in this kingdom looks like. And of course, the great commandment that Jesus gives, to love the Lord your God with all of who you are, your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, or to love others as you would like to be loved. Jesus says that again in the Beatitudes. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This reciprocity that we have within God's love for the world, for one another, and the command for us to love God with everything that we are, every ounce and fiber of our being. And may it look in such a way, may our love be exemplified in such a way that we show that love to others in the world, that it looks like our love towards God. And may we love ourselves well. As a people of faith, loving God feels innate. It's like part of who we are. We come on a Sunday, it's been a part of our formation through our lives. We recognize that it just feels maybe simple and practiced. It is what we were told to do by our parents, by our mothers, by those that have loved us deeply and have formed us in faith, to say, this is what your faith looks like, is to love God. But also living in a world in light of the resurrection, knowing that all of our days, all of our whatever fills our day, our eating, our sleeping, our leisure, our study, our work, our play, all that we do, all that we are, is inspired by and lived in the model that models the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this can be quite challenging. In this world where it feels that people are increasingly more polarized and less gracious with one another. I could be wrong, but maybe just a quick check within us? Are you feeling that the world is much more gracious and willing to accept one another? Or are we feeling that it's getting a little bit harder out there? Don't have to answer that out loud, but maybe we all know of where we are at. We are highly suspicious of one another. We're much more ready to note what we are against than what we are for. We've positioned ourselves or dug in our heels and have recognized that not just us, but the world as a whole is becoming much more polarized. Of the many things that the church is to be, we recognize that underneath all of, and it's very broad, of who the church is, that underneath, we live underneath this banner and this understanding that we are to live in a way that follows the commands of Jesus. That's what sets us apart in the world. That's our identifying markers, that we live in such a way that we live underneath this way of following the commands of Jesus, which allows us to move through our days marked by grace and also sharing that grace, that we have received it through our baptism, that we receive it hopefully from one another, and we get to share what that grace, what that life-giving purpose that God has been about doing with one another. Again, it's exemplifying of loving God and loving others. And so while there's so much more, so much that we can do, that more time than we have allowed, maybe you're thankful that we have time allowed on a Sunday morning to talk about all the things that we can do. Our scripture lessons this morning help us have a little bit of a trajectory, a little bit of looking out on this movement forward of who we are to be. Maybe as we hear the words of Jesus to go into all corners of the world and make disciples and baptize, or who we are as a people of faith as we share this story, living out the resurrection to the world around us. That we know that we are to do good in the world, but there are many people that are good. But what sets us apart as people of faith is not only just to do good, but to recognize that we are a people set apart by the work of Christ's resurrection, that we get to share that to the world because God is about bringing people together so that all might be saved. That we all have an opportunity to share this story of the power of what God is doing in the raising of Christ. That is not just being good, but it is sharing this story that brings life that we believe in power and energy to the world around us. If that story is so powerful to you, we have an opportunity as well to share that. Peter, as we read this morning, notes that we should not assume that our life of faith is a cakewalk. Maybe you know this. Maybe we recognize that living our life of faith isn't all candy and gumdrops. It wasn't for Jesus. Why should it be for us? But our faith notes that God is always about moving towards you, and you, I mean by you, I mean we, all of us, get to live out our baptism, continue to embrace a good conscience, as he writes about this idea of knowing the integrity that we have, the living to the full of what this experience of life in Christ looks like, and by living our hope-filled lives, as Peter shares, always be ready to share to anyone the hope that is in you. Always be ready to share to anyone the hope that is in you. What is that hope? What is it when you wake up in the morning, no matter what your day holds in front of you, makes you have a look upon that day through a lens that lives out the resurrection of Jesus? What is it that moves within you, that makes you come on a Sunday morning to gather in worship? What is that hope that triggers within you? I think it might look, it's nuanced anyway, a little bit different for each of us. But it should certainly fall under this whole banner that you are so deeply loved and that God is trying to make you fully alive in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't end with you, but it goes out to the whole world and all that God has created. And that is part of the story that we get to carry as a church. What is that hope? There's a little space in the back of the bulletin, and you can find underneath where you can see our addresses and above where the announcements are, and maybe it's just one or two words you want to write down. What is that hope that fills you as you hear this morning these words and these reminders of Jesus to hold to the command, his commands, and to live out and be ready to share that hope that Peter speaks about? But Peter doesn't stop right there. He doesn't just say, be ready to share to anyone the hope that is within you. For much of the framework of his writing here is about making a defense. Be ready to give a defense for what you believe and the hope that is within you. And I acknowledge that whenever we try to give a defense, especially in a world that seems increasingly polarized, that we're ready to make an account that is more reactionary than it is life-giving. Again, holding to or making sure that we're ready to give it a defense of the things that we are against and not the things that we are necessarily for. Because I believe that we hold much more in common than we often acknowledge. So Peter goes on and he holds in the same breath, as you give an account of the hope that is in you, do this with gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear. Are your words gentle? Speaking to somebody, speaking about somebody when they aren't present. Are your ways respectful? When you're in the presence of someone, or maybe trying to avoid someone. As Paul, as we read in Acts, is walking through Athens, this great city, this great cultural center with these great minds, in this place where the debates would happen and all sides would come in and share their great knowledge to the world around. Paul is taking his time as he walks through this great city. And he comes to this piece of art that has this title, To an Unknown God. There is always an intent with artists. But it's also noticed how the art is, art speaks to a person. I've been to a number of shows with Natalie where she will stand there and someone will say, well, what does this painting mean? And she might give a couple words of, well, this is some of the direction, but she will always look at the person back and say, what does this mean to you? What do you see within this art? Does it bring life to you? Is it asking deep questions? And there's always a gentleness with that of what are you hearing in this? As Paul stands in front of this statue that an artist made and says, people of Athens, you might say that this is a God that is unknown, but I want to tell you about what I believe. The Athenians may not be able to articulate their search and encounter with the divine, but the art that is present allows deep expression for what is not easily apparent or known. It asks a question or leaves something open for the community as a whole to even ask further about what they believe. And it asks about the matters of the soul in a way that is accessible to both the artists and the audience. And Paul notices that there's a deeper question here and begins to share who he believes this unknown statue is pointing to. And as I read through this, I hear those words of Peter, of him ready to give an account of the hope that is within him. And I also hear Paul going about this with gentleness and respect. Paul shares that the one who made everything, you, me, the birds, the warmth of the sun, we might not know that all the time in Duluth, but the sun is warm. The things that bring you joy, the desire to grow and learn. For in him we live and move and have our being. This God is inviting us to a new way. Sure, the word that Paul uses is the word repent, but that's what repent means, to live in a new, full, right way, one that has an orientation towards God, a way that Jesus speaks about, a way that is one of following, of keeping his commands. And as Paul speaks, the Spirit does the Spirit's work, and that's what God, or as Jesus leaves the words to his disciples that an advocate is coming, the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit works in the Spirit's ways and does whatever Paul gives, the Spirit works upon that. And it's not like Pentecost where thousands of people turn and follow at that point, but a few do and a few don't, and some probably walk away with a smile on their face because who would want to follow a resurrection? I mean, the whole idea of the Greek way in the world or religion was to have the body leave or to have the soul leave the body and not be trapped here any longer. So why would we want to be resurrected and come back to this place? It's like having a root canal with no anesthesia. That doesn't sound great. But Paul says this is where the life is. It may be new to you, and there might be some new understanding to this or a new way of thinking about it, but it certainly is hope-filled. It certainly exemplifies what love is to look like within the world. And as a church, as we hear these words and as know that we are a church, as the mission of the Evangelical Covenant Church as a whole is to have more disciples in more places in a more just and caring world, that we have a call to live out these words in this way, this hope in a world. And we certainly do this with gentleness and respect, because that's what our faith is marked by. That is our response of living into the commands that Jesus has given. That's where life is found, and it's not always easy. But maybe to summarize Jesus' words in John 14, you can do this. You have all that you need. In fact, because you have what you need, you will get even more. You are not like other people. There is something special about you. There is a whole new way that is not needing to be polarizing. You get to live out this love, this grace, this way within the world. And I will be with you. Really, you can do this. Amen.